If you're a Christian parent, you probably believe that God made males and females for equally important but different roles in life. You likely buy your sons different kinds of toys, different clothing, and you groom them in ways that are different from the way you groom your daughters. But that can get you some unflattering labels in many of America's circles today. And it seems that more and more the deck is being stacked against the unique attributes that God has given our sons in particular. Has paternal dominance and toxic masculinity really been the root of all of our society's ills, as some people claim? Should we raise our kids not to believe that their obvious biological differences should be taken into account when raising them up for adulthood? Has a spirit of Jezebel blinded us to God's natural and obvious order of things? Today we'll be talking about Jezebel's war with America and how to defend our families and society against it. That's today on License to Parent. Well, thanks for joining us. Our host, as always, is Trace Embry, the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, which is a Christ-centered, year-long residential program working with teens in crisis. I'm Rich Rosel, and Trace, I've heard you talk about the feminization of our culture and what it's done to help dilute our thoughts about the traditional and scientifically sound gender binary, but you also say that we're being strong-armed basically into accepting a non-scientific or fluid approach to gender and sex. So does the feminization of our culture have implications that perhaps transcend more than just the sexual and gender problems that we seem to be facing in America today?
Well, I certainly see it that way, Rich. God, or nature, if you will, has an ecosystem, one that transcends mere physical realities like the environment, oceans, streams, trees, dirt, and all. But there are also metaphysical and or spiritual things that are just as real, though not empirically evidenced. And, you know, when these things get off kilter, they can affect everything else in a very negative way. It could be our relationships, our attitudes, our moral standards, the way we define traditional terms, or how we interpret, value, and prioritize the deeper and more important issues of life. And all this ultimately affects how we raise our kids, and way more than we think. Mm-hmm. And when we claim to know better than God and science, and then throw in today's postmodern and hyper-feminist influences into the mix, we've now helped to fuel the political correctness that's resulting in an emotionally fragile generation of entitled and hypersensitive spoiled brats. It's fertile ground for exasperating our kids, provoking them to anger, and causing them to stumble, because we're trying to make shoes fit their hands and gloves fit their feet, and all while digital technology has given myriad platforms for this kind of nonsensical thinking. We used to be largely a people of reason, but the spiritual blinding of the postmodern thinking leftists and ultra-feminists have now managed to leverage the emotions of the masses and can now get away with considering those same credentialed people of logic and reason to be bigots, fascists, racists, Nazis, or even mentally ill and therefore not worthy of a voice at all. And we're seeing that in the news today. But this is the pot calling the kettle black. Mental facilities are full of people whose emotions are out of whack, not necessarily their logic. And I'm not so sure that you can even get logic out of whack. It's only their distorted perception of logic. And even that can be argued as being emotionally driven. And today, as we look at Jezebel's war on America, perhaps we can help parents help their kids head some of this nonsense off at the pass. Mm.
Well, Trace, joining us once again on License to Parent is Dr. Michael Brown. He's the founder and president of Fire School of Ministry, located in Concord, North Carolina. He's the director of the Coalition of Conscience and host of the daily nationally syndicated talk show, The Line of Fire, as well as host of the Jewish outreach documentary TV series, Think It Through, that, by the way, airs internationally on the INI network. Dr. Brown is the author of 25 books, including one we're going to be talking about today called Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. Dr. Brown, by the way, is also a national and international speaker on themes of spiritual renewal and cultural reformation. He's widely considered to be one of the world's foremost messianic Jewish apologists. He and his wife, Nancy, have been married since 1976. They've got two daughters and four grandchildren, which, of course, in our book, is what qualifies you to be an expert guest on License to Parent.
Amen. Michael, welcome back to License to Parent.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Hey, what exactly is the spirit of Jezebel, and how has this spirit declared war on America?
Yeah, I want to make clear that I'm not one of these conspiratorial theorists. I'm not one of these guys looking for a secret explanation for everything or looking for a demon hiding under every rock.
Right.
But we do recognize that there's a spiritual battle.
Sure.
We recognize that behind what we see in the natural, there are often spiritual forces at work. And Jezebel in the Bible was the most wicked woman mentioned in Scripture. She had demonic power working through her that intimidated others, even intimidated Elijah at one point. She was a crass idol worshiper and helped lead Israel into deeper idolatry. She killed the prophet so that spirit of murder was on her. She was a seductress. She is associated with witchcraft. You look at her as one that emasculated men, even being, some would say, the first radical feminist. You look at all these things together, the silencing of the prophets, and then Jesus mentions her name again about 1,000 years after her death. He mentions her with reference to a false prophetess and says that she also leads God's servants into idolatry and immorality. Her name was probably not actually Jezebel. Jesus was calling her that because she had that same spirit. And it struck me last year, and I mean in overwhelming form, connect the dots here in America. The same demonic forces that operated through Jezebel are operating in America today. And we can see it from the national turning away from God to idolatry, to the rise of porn, sexual seduction, the likes of which we've never seen, to the murderous Shout Your Abortion movement. Remember that in the ancient world with idolatry, there was always child sacrifice, so right. We document that in the book. So this militant Shout Your Abortion movement, then radical feminism, the emasculating of men, the rise of witchcraft. There are more witches now in America, according to reports, than Presbyterians.
Oh,
the silencing of the church's prophetic voice, the intimidating by fear. You go back 50 years, we weren't fighting these same battles in these same ways.
Right.
Jezebel rising again. We've got to connect the dots.
Would you say that today's feminism is being led, influenced by this spirit of Jezebel?
Yeah, there's no question about it. We're not talking about a healthy feminism that affirms women, that honors women, that doesn't treat them as second-class citizens, or a healthy feminism that says equal pay for equal work and things like that. No, we're talking about a radical feminism that hates men, that demeans men, that emasculates men, that anything that has to do with a real male identity is now toxic masculinity. And not only so, one that's associated with a real anger and that is militantly pro-baby killing. We're not just talking about a 15-year-old girl who was raped and is struggling, whether they have an abortion or not. We're talking about looking at a baby as a clump of cells and you shout out and publicize your abortion as the best thing that you ever did. And we're also talking about something which again, I document with quote after quote in the book, the connection between radical feminism and witchcraft. I mean, right out of their mouths. I just wrote an article about Teen Vogue is Teen Jezebel. Here, this magazine, this widely read magazine that used to be more of a fashion magazine,
right.
You know, how to have the best, you know, looking hair and things like that, is now a radical activist magazine. It's publicizing everything from anal sex to prostitution to have an abortion without your parents knowing it. And along with that, has articles on witchcraft and just recently had one on casting sex spells and things like that.
We've gone off the rails.
Is it any wonder that this is all happening at the same time?
Yeah, we've gone off the rails. How, in practical terms, if you give me an example, is today's feminism a real threat to my sons? Can you give me a couple examples of what our boys need to be looking out for?
Yes, so this is part of the larger war on gender as well.
Yeah,
even
right.
The homosexual activism and all that comes under this. So radical feminism makes women into men and men into women.
Blurring the binary.
It attacks the gender binary, and then it really reverses things so that for a man to really be a man, for a man to be protective and caring and nurturing over a woman, for a man to have a sense of authority as the head of the home and the one that bears an ultimate responsibility, for a recognition of the importance of gender distinctions, and for the man to be able to embrace a male identity, radical feminism absolutely opposes that. And there's another way that radical feminism wants to emasculate males, and that's through pornography. Mm-hmm. We know that porn and sexual seduction attacks both men and women, but men more particularly are going to be prone to this. And when you become a slave to sexual stimulation, when you become a slave to porn, this further emasculates you. This takes away a sense of dignity and strength. And then through the man's eyes, the woman is just reduced to a sexual object. So there are men in their 20s now that need to use Viagra in order to have intimate relations with a woman, right, because they've been so destroyed by porn. So there's a direct assault on your boys. Yeah. There's no question about it.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned witchcraft. A lot of people would scratch their head and say, can you talk about that a little bit? The increased interest in witchcraft in America, and do the movies like Harry Potter and others like them, do they have any influence on this at all as far as our attitudes toward it?
Yeah. So let's start with the Harry Potter situation and sorcery. In 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, Jezebel is directly associated with sorcery. King James says witchcraft. Sorcery is probably a better translation there. On the one hand, the whole Harry Potter phenomenon can seem relatively harmless, mm-hmm, and there's good versus evil and certain storylines through it. But ultimately, this is now making very attractive, especially to young people, this supernatural dimension, having special powers. I was talking to someone about this being allegedly harmless, and they were saying, oh, yeah, right. Watch the kids that go down to Walt Disney, to the Harry Potter park, whatever it is. Watch them leaving with their wands and their capes and trying to be spells and things like this. No matter how, quote, innocent it is, it's opening them up to something. It's creating an interest in them. And if you're talking about a phenomenon of hundreds of millions of people reading the books, seeing the movies, being exposed to these things, so that certainly opens up the door. And it doesn't go towards the Bible. It doesn't towards God or point to the cross, no matter how innocent it is. It's opening the door the wrong way. And look, for me, when I was in my teens in the 60s, and the rock music scene came in, and the fact that the rock stars were using drugs and things like that, that had an appeal to me. And what started off with just experimenting with pot ended up with shooting heroin, mm-hmm, in my own life before the Lord saved me at the age of 16. And I remember back then wanting to experiment with other things, and we were checking out Ouija boards and things. It wasn't long after that before we were just open up ourselves to every kind of spiritual force.
Right.
So generally speaking, the approach is no big deal.
Right.
So for example, with witchcraft and spells, no, you're finding out about other powers and things like that. So, you know, Teen Vogue, promoting witchcraft, magic, sex spells to enhance one's personal pleasure. Here's a magazine called Sabbat, which fuses, quote, witchcraft and feminism. One of the most famous feminist groups from the late 1960s was called Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell. That was their actual name. The acronym was WITCH.
Right.
I mean, there you have it in terms of its essence. A lot of the feminists say within every woman is a witch. It's something of recovering this female power, this female dominance. Is it any surprise that you have, with the rise of radical feminism, that you have witches trying to hex President Trump? And if we go back to the Bible, it doesn't matter if you like President Trump or dislike President Trump, you recognize he's kind of like a Jehu figure from the Bible, one of these reckless leaders, like a bull in a china shop, who gets a lot of good done, and there's a lot of collateral damage. And some have compared Jehu in the Bible to Trump today, which I do in the book as well. Again, whether you voted for him or not, the comparison is there. It is Jehu who has the final confrontation with Jezebel. So when you get this alpha male type of leader, it brings the radical feminists out with the radical women's marches and the calls to blow up the White House and things like that. And here's something extraordinary in the account. When Jehu has his final confrontation with Jezebel, he asks, who's on my side? Because she's up in a room looking out a window. and it says two or three eunuchs were there. Eunuchs were castrated males, literally. Their masculinity was physically taken from them, and they actually throw her out of the window. So we're not talking about hurting people, but we are talking about a spiritual principle. The castrated males need to rise up against Jezebel. It sounds wild, but that's really what we're dealing with. And then even on the most innocuous level, think of, you know, back in the 60s, those who can remember back that far, the shows like Father Knows Best.
Oh, yeah.
And Ozzie and Harriet.
Make room for
and
Daddy.
Andy Griffith. Yeah, the daddy was wise and stable and strong. And now, for years now, the daddy is a jerk, is an idiot, is utterly inept.
Or not
and
there.
And the kids, and even where the dads are trying to be there, they're still portrayed in all the sitcoms and all of that as just utter idiots.
Right.
This is part of the larger emasculating of males.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to our host, Trace Embry, on Licensed to Parent, talking with author, speaker, and Messianic Jewish apologist Dr. Michael Brown. And we're discussing his book, Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country, and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. You'll find that on Amazon or wherever you buy your books. And we'll be back with more conversation with Dr. Brown right after this.
The world of digital technology is always changing, and it's changing you, if you're comfortable with technology or not. Your kids may take technology almost completely for granted and rarely notice its effects. On the other hand, you may adapt to technology more slowly, but are affected by the digital invasion just as much as your kids. In the book, The Digital Invasion, How Technology is Shaping You and Your Relationships, authors Dr. Archibald Hart and Sylvia Hart-Fried uncover the ways digital technology is changing us from within, physically, mentally, and especially spiritually, and offers therapeutic and biblical strategies to become good stewards of our digital lives. The Digital Invasion also includes 10 pages featuring Trace Embry of Shepherd's Hill Academy. Find The Digital Invasion in the store at LicensedToParent.org. Proceeds support the Shepherd's Hill Academy Student Scholarship Fund.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org, helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. You can find out more about Shepherd's Hill and our work with troubled teens and by extension with their families when you visit us online at LicensedToParent.org and click the link to Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we're talking today with Dr. Michael L. Brown, author of the book Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. Trace?
Michael, we hear a lot about toxic masculinity today. Is that a real thing? Is that something that the feminists, today's feminists have come up with?
Yeah, on the one hand, there is some truth to that in that there are aspects of masculinity that are not healthy. And as I document in Jezebel's War with America, it really means a man being a man. I'm not talking about a man's going to show his manhood by raping a woman,
right,
or a man's going to show his manhood by beating up someone he differs with. But if a man is going to do what comes naturally to a man, to take on a certain strength, a certain leadership role, a certain nurturing role, even just for, you know, for boys to be boys and all this, this really becomes part of the enemy, part of toxic masculinity. And there are now seminars that universities are holding where you're going to learn, men are going to learn to get rid of their toxic masculinity. Right now, the most guilty person in America by default is a male. It's just bottom line. If you're male, you're doing something wrong. You're guilty somehow. And there are feminists, I quote them in the book, that want to basically eradicate males.
Right.
I mean, maybe just keep a few around to breed or so. I don't know how they plan to perpetuate the human race, but it's this, it is not multi-generational. Radical feminism is the opposite of multi-generational. It's the opposite right. of the biblical mentality. Hence the baby killing spirit, mm-hmm. hence the attack on marriage, hence the role of men in society.
Well, men are supposed to be the head. If you kill the head, the body dies. I think that's what they're shooting for. But what if radical feminism and the culture it's influenced has already convinced my teen son to believe himself to be a toxic male monster who can't control his basic instincts for sex and violence? How do I convince him otherwise, especially when other people he respects, like teachers and entertainers and political leaders, are starting to reinforce this idea on a pretty regular basis?
Yeah, you want to show him where this leads. For example, wherever he has a sensitivity, if he recognizes the sacredness of life in the womb, if you show him graphic pictures of what abortion is and says, you know, the people that are saying these things, they support that. They celebrate that. If you talk to him about, isn't there something beautiful about a man and a woman? Is there something in you where you want to be with a woman and you have the desire to care for her? And they're telling you, you can't do that. And then say, hey, as you're being raised by mom and dad, assuming they were in a two-parent home, was there a difference between mom and a difference with dad? You know, was it dad who kind of threw you in the air and mom who didn't want you to, you know, wanted to be more careful? That's because moms and dads are different. And that's what these people are against.
Right.
We don't just want to demonize them and show what they're doing is wrong. We want to expose it, but we want to show that God's ways are right, that God's ways are best, that there is something beautiful about the way that he set it up. And when you change, you know, and maybe there are activities he's always done with dad that he could not imagine doing with mom, and activities he's done with mom he couldn't imagine doing with dad. Say, see, they want to change all that.
Yeah, right.
They want to say that doesn't matter. And you know that's wrong.
No.
And you could also show how they hold to the war on gender and say, you know, do you think it's fair for a 16-year-old boy to compete with girls of the same age? Do you think that's fair? You know, just highlight how this thing goes off the rails so dramatically.
It's unbelievable. And as you said, radical feminism is demonizing men and basically trying to take over, I think. If violence, rape, and war are the liabilities involved in what they might call the patriarchy, what do you see as some of the liabilities involved in a matriarchy?
So you are now going to have an authority taken that does not rightly belong and that has not rightly been given. So it's going to be absolutely tyrannical. When those that perceive themselves to be oppressed become the leaders, they will automatically be worse. They will become the oppressors.
History shows that.
And what it's going to mean is it's going to mean the feminizing of men. Look, it's fairly well documented that kids who are raised, boys who are raised by two moms tend to get feminized, and girls who are raised by two moms tend to get masculinized. I was talking with a young lady. She and her two sisters were all lesbians, and they were raised by two lesbians. And I said, what was the attitude in the home towards men? What did your moms think about men? Oh, they hated men. Men become the enemy. So, you know, if you ever saw Planet of the Apes, just turn it around where the apes are women and the human race is men.
There you go.
That's kind of what it would look like.
There you go. Well, in light of evolution and the whole survival of the fittest thing, if I'm a garden variety heathen, is it fair to expect me to keep from reducing women to mere sex objects when so many women in the media, especially through entertainment and advertising, so often appear to be reducing themselves to mere sex objects?
Yeah, and that's the irony in all this, that there are some radical feminists who do not want to look appealing to men, who go out of their way to look unappealing, to look masculine, to put on weight and things like that. But there are plenty others that say, hey, for me being a feminist means flaunting my body. and going around in the most seductive outfits. You're going around. I have the right to be topless and going around in a thong bikini and every kind of sensual dance and video and things like that. It's like, how can you do that and not think that men are going to objectify you?
Yeah.
How can you do that without thinking that men are just going to look at you as some sexual thing to use and throw away? No, it doesn't justify rape, God forbid. It doesn't justify men just trying to use women sexually, but you can't have it both ways. You can't say treat us with dignity and respect as peers and don't sexualize us and then go around 90% naked flaunting that and say, but don't sexualize me. You can't do that. But that's part of Jezebel.
Yeah.
The same radical feminist is also a seductress.
That's right. Well, we're just about out of time, Michael, but I'm going to try to squeeze in one more question. Culture has been defined as the ideas, institutions, and interactions that tell a people group how to think, feel, and act. How much has our culture influenced our kids to think, feel, and act about today's feminism, largely through their digital devices, and what adverse effect has it on our daughters?
Yeah, on daughters, there's so many questions as to what it means to be a woman. On the one hand, you have to look perfect. You can't have an ounce of fat, and you have to flaunt who you are. And then, of course, you have to be sexually active. You have to be free. You can't be oppressed and held back. And, of course, if you get pregnant, that baby's just a lump of cells. Just get rid of it. And the other thing is you can't look to a man to be a man because that's a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
You can't look to the man to be the head of the home or the one to have that nurturing authority in your life. You can't look to that. That's a sign of weakness. So it doesn't allow for right relationships or even right self-image.
It's like God's ecosystem has just totally been thrown out the window, and we're paying for it.
Yeah. We're also out of time for today, unfortunately, but the good news is Dr. Brown is going to be joining us again as we continue with this and related topics with him. He's a wealth of information for us. Again, our guest today on Licensed to Parent has been the author of Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. His name is Dr. Michael L. Brown. You'll find the book on Amazon or wherever you buy your books. You can also connect with Dr. Brown on his website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and you can catch his radio program at lineoffireradio.com. Dr. Brown, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great to be with you. And folks, if you pre-order Jezebel's War with America, go to JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. You get the ebook free, other books free, over $50 of free resources when you pre-order. JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com.
Great.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again for being with us.
God bless you. That
wraps up today's License to Parent. You'll find us online at LicenseToParent.org. While there, be sure to check out the many parenting topics that we discuss on this program, and be sure to subscribe to Trace's blog. Also, if you consider becoming one of our ministry partners, offering both financial and prayerful support to keep this work going and on the air, we'd be very grateful. You can donate securely online by clicking the donate button at LicenseToParent.org, and all gifts are tax deductible. Our guest coordinator on License to Parent is Daniel Fasina. Our technical producer is Carl Peets. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to phone a friend, and together join us again next time when once again we'll renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.